So, what is the origin of the nickname Django?
So, I get asked this all the time. Yeah, and I really wish it was a bit more interesting, but I don't mind telling the story. My mum was a bit of a sort of hippie, and she wanted to call me some strange sort of hippie name. Like, apparently she wanted to call me like green or blue or something like that. And obviously my dad put his foot down and wasn't having any of it. And also my granddad and my dad had about 3,000 middle names, so my dad just wanted me to have none, so I'm literally just James Forrester. My mum was obviously a bit disappointed with that, so she was a big Django Reinhardt jazz guitarist fan. So for some reason I never really understood, she just started calling me Django. And it just stuck, and then as kids were coming back to my house after school for play dates, they were picking up on it, and then they'd call me Django, and I didn't like it for years, and I'd sort of have a scrap with anyone that would call me it, because I saw it as a nickname my mum called me. So I'd say up until my early teens I wasn't very fond of it, but then it just, yeah, it's one of those things that sticks. And then, yeah, everyone just knows me as Django now, so that is the origin. Sorry for any confusion.
I bet they picked up on it very quickly here at King's Home as
well. Thing with King's Home is that they don't actually like calling you by nicknames that you come with. They try and give you some new new horrendous nicknames. So I was called many things over the years at Gloucester, but I'm happy with Django.
We're talking about that.
The social side at Gloucester.
Yeah.
Who are the characters in the dressing room?
So I think in those early days, always consider myself very lucky to have sort of played in that time when it was professional. I was getting paid relatively well for it, but there was still massive elements of that amateur era sort of hanging around, and the characters within that who had worked on building sites. You know, Andy Deacon had been a lorry driver from memory. I think Mark Cornwall worked in a clothes shop. I think, you know, guys like Chris Forty was a carpenter, and all sorts of other different trades and stuff. So, these guys have sort of been in the real world. They hadn't just come through some academy. And those guys I just mentioned before, huge characters around this place. They sort of set the culture, and they always reminded everyone in the squad, particularly when I think Philippe started bringing in a lot of French guys. Those guys would really remind everyone what it meant to play for this town and how important it is to the people around this area. And I think that's hugely important, and I think that's why we had a pretty special team there for a while. It was a huge amount of fun. I remember going on tour to France and the whole squad had their head shaved, and we had a lot of fun, and I think we played well, and I think we had a pretty successful period in those early 2000s, but we certainly, I'd say we certainly knew how to sort of play hard on the pitch and off it.
Was Serge Seymour at all time? Serge Seymour? Was he playing there?
I just missed him. I heard some stories, about him running around and causing some people some damage. Yes. I heard some stories. I think I just missed him. Yeah. I think he's probably there when I was travelling. The guys like Olivier Azam, big character on the pitch, Junior Paramore, Jake Boa, he never shut up, he was just literally motor mouth, never stopped talking. Andy Goldensaw was very similar, big character, very, very funny. Terry Van Leer, of course, legend around here, very passionate, loved this place. He always was like one of the homegrown boys. You can probably tell from what I've said, but also the way I talk about it, that little period was very special, I think, for everyone. And I guess the only regret was we didn't win one of those sort of big trophies. But yeah, great time.
And you felt that buzz when you ran out onto the pitch at Kingsholm?
Yeah. So I sort of named those sort of other clubs which I think come close to Kingsholm. But of course, Kingsholm is my favourite, of course. You know, the lap of the pitch and getting the shed going and running out. Yeah, in those days, run out on the halfway line, straight onto the halfway line. But yeah, the noise, incredible. As I said, you almost feel when you play at Kingsholm like it's busier than somewhere like Twickenham with the sort of volume levels. And as I said, the fans here really know their rugby and special place, very special place.
And one final thing, sevens, going back to sevens again.
Yeah.
You had a considerable feeling for sevens, didn't you? And I can see why.
Yeah.
You know, you seem to me to be a classic sevens player. You've got the sevens player build and speed and.
Yeah, so again, with my England career, I probably would have liked some more sevens experience, but in those days, club takes preference, and I was getting into the sevens, and then Andy Hazel got injured, and then the rest was history. So I never played for England sevens again. I was either injured myself or playing for Gloucester. Mm-hmm. But then we went and won Middlesex at least once. Mm-hmm. We put out a really great team. In the Middlesex sevens, yeah. With Simon Amor, Anthony Allen, Marcel Garvey, I think Boa and Luke Narraway. I think we won did I captain, or maybe Simon Amor captain. So that was a lot of fun one pre-season. I think one year we lost in the final, so I think over a 3-year period, from memory, did we get to 3 finals in a row or something like that? And I think we lost to the Army once. Oh no, I think one year we didn't quite get far. We lost to Bradford Bulls. But we had a pretty good run of success at the Middlesex Sevens. So yeah, I loved it. Yeah, that space. I think, you know, Sevens really test your skill set because you're doing everything but in much greater space.
Yeah.
So you have to pass a lot further. You have to be able to tackle someone in a much larger area of space in terms of how you defend them. So it really tests your skill sets.
And you're very exposed, aren't you?
Yeah, of course, yeah. It's pretty frightening when you're defending that much space against some of the best athletes in the world. So, you've got to be on your game. And I think also when you play in those environments, when you go away for 2 weeks and you do that level of passing and defending at that level, I always noticed that I'd come back and felt like I was a better player because you're just improving. Because you're challenging yourself so much. So, yeah, big fan of sevens. I think it's a great game for any young, aspiring player to get involved with.
Yeah. You've always been compared, or frequently been compared, with Andy Ripley. But you, obviously, he was before your time.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you're aware of that comparison.
Yeah, I think I'm very happy with that comparison. From what I hear and what I've seen, he's a great player, and from what I hear, he's a great fellow as well. So he seems to be a bit of a cult hero. I think my uncle was a big fan of his, and people have said to me over the years that I reminded them of him. So yeah, I guess big compliment for me with him being a bit of a legend.
Yeah. Thank you very much for talking to us.
No worries at all.
And there was one final thing. Robert Kitson in The Guardian, he said, quote, he wasn't really built like an international forward, but he possessed the hands and footwork of an NBA legend. His knees were knobbly, his modest demeanour almost apologetic at times, but he did things no England back row forward has been capable of since Andy Ripley.
Wow.
And there you are.
Wow. I'm not sure if that's a compliment or not, but I
think it certainly was meant to be.
Yeah,
well deserved.
Yeah,
well deserved.
I think Kitts was always quite nice about me, so I think he obviously quite liked me, but from memory. Yeah, it's nice. Well, as I said, like, I've heard amazing things about Andy Ripley, so I'll take that, that's for sure.
Well, thank you again.
Well, guys, thank you. It's a great thing you're doing, so I'll check out the website, because if I'm honest, I haven't yet done that.